And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Cottonwood Area Transit, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And hope your week is going well as things are starting to kind of open up again. And here at the Thursday Roundtable, we've got a couple of folks we're going to be talking to that are going to kind of give us their perspective from a couple of different angles on what's going on with the pandemic and with the reopening. In just a couple of moments, we're going to be talking with Dr. Elizabeth Vliet. She is an MD and founder of Hormone Health Strategies in Tucson and Dallas, and she has presented hundreds of consumer talks all over the country, but she is bringing us specific information about the prescription of hydroxychloroquine in the intervention of early COVID-19 treatment. And so Dr. Elizabeth Vliet will be joining us in just a couple of moments. And then a little bit later on, we're going to find out how the city of Cottonwood is handling the reopening. Christian Del Levo will join us. He is the director of the Cottonwood Verde Valley Chamber of Commerce. And so we'll get an update on Old Town and the wine country and everything else. So stick around. We've got lots of stuff coming your way. Dr. Elizabeth Vliet coming up next to talk hydroxychloroquine live here on your Thursday Roundtable on Talk of the Town, KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com. We'll be right back.
If you can't chew it, odds are your garbage disposal can't either. This is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. It's not uncommon to end up with something in your garbage disposal that was never meant to be there. We get it. So that's why right now, we're offering $25 off any garbage disposal replacement, whether it's eggshells or a pan of grease.
Uh-oh, I've done that.
It's $25 off. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today at 776-7025 or visit us online at ypeinc.com.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance, someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
This is Steve Sishko with Olson's for Healthy Animals. One of the things that's always impressed me about difficult times is how pets and animals raise people's spirits. They're non-judgmental and don't pay a bit of attention to social distancing. They love you whether you wear a mask or not, and always listen when you're pouring your heart out to them. That's why you should give them the best, and that's at Olson's. You can settle for good enough, or give your best friends the Olson's difference when buying their food, health supplies, toys, and treats. For the last 41 years, we've been feeding pets and animals with the philosophy of good enough just isn't. We offer in-store service, curbside, and delivery from all of our stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Humboldt, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale. Experience us at our stores on Facebook, olsonsfamily.com, or olsonsgrain.com. Locals feeding locals pets and animals. That's us.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop. Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Elizabeth Leave-Leet to our Talk of the Town microphones. We are here to talk about some things with regard to COVID-19. But Dr. Vliet is a nationally recognized speaker on all kinds of health issues, regarding women and hormone health strategies. She's a member of the International Menopause Society, currently a member of the Board of Directors of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Vliet has appeared on Fox News, Stuart Varney, Neil Cavuto, Fox and Friends. And that may be okay, but that's just a run-up for the big time, which is your interview here on KQ&A's Talk of the Town. Dr. Vliet, nice to have you with us. Now, we're going to talk about the COVID-19 stuff here in just a little bit, but you've devoted your life to women's health issues, and particularly as the founder of Hormone Health Strategies. What was it that women weren't getting in terms of the depth and breadth of care regarding these conditions that are connected to hormone therapy, and what were you able to add to the spectrum of available treatments?
My training, and then expanded to women's reproductive hormones and how they affected all of the body systems, not just reproduction, and in older women, not just hot flashes and vaginal dryness and bone loss, but 400 system functions in the body, and all of the ways in which for men and women, our reproductive hormones are metabolically critically important. They affect everything from heart disease risk to bone health and brain health and men immune function, for example. And that same integrated approach and working, going to the international conferences for the last 25 years that have been more ahead of the United States on the integrated approaches and putting all of the pieces together, not just having the gynecologist treat the vaginal dryness and the neurologist trying to address headaches, migraines that are triggered by a woman's menstrual period, and a rheumatologist address the joint pain that's caused as women lose estrogen as they get older. And for men, the loss of testosterone doesn't just affect their libido and sex drive, it affects their risk of heart disease and diabetes, but the cardiologists are not addressing that. And when I go to the international conferences, they are putting all the pieces together in this way. And there are a lot of parallels to the work I've done for the last 35 years in men's health and women's health that are going on with the COVID-19 situation. The international work and the approaches of other countries are achieving much, much lower death rates than the United States because they are pretty much across the board. The countries with the dramatically lower death rates are using hydroxychloroquine early at the very beginning of symptoms, and they're using it prophylactically to keep their doctors and nurses from getting sick. The United States FDA on March 28th issued an emergency use authorization that restricted doctors in the U.S. to using it in late-stage hospitalized, critically ill patients. And there aren't any antiviral medicines that work very well when somebody is critically ill and the virus has done so much damage and triggered the cytokine storm that the immune system exaggerated response is also damaging critical organs, heart and lungs and brain and kidneys. So our model has been, pardon the old phrase, but bass ackwards, and in that, as well as it was in the approach to menopause and to men's health related to, for example, testosterone decline as they got older. So there are a lot of parallels. My work has always been in preventive medicine and looking at how we can help keep people from getting sick or reduce their health risk, or if they have a disease, intervene early so that we prevent it from getting worse. So it was a natural outgrowth to look at when COVID hit, what can we do to keep the body healthy? I've written some articles for my patients on what they can do to keep their immune system healthy and to take some approaches that can help keep you from getting sick. But more importantly, I started digging into the research coming in from other countries and looking at, I've been on conference calls with doctors from Brazil and from other countries where they are using hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin and zinc early, right at the very beginning of symptoms. And they're keeping people out of the hospital. They're keeping people off ventilators. And their death rates, I want to just share with your listeners a couple of critical statistics. I was shocked when I looked at the Worldometer that has all the death rates by countries, the number of cases, number of deaths, and deaths per million population, which is a more apples-to-apples comparison. On May 18th, in the United States, our death rate per 1 million population was 278 people per million people died. That same day, India, four times our population, much less medical infrastructure, much more poverty, much denser cities, India had a death rate of 2 people per million. Costa Rica, a wonderful country to visit for scuba diving, but it's a third world country when it comes to medical facilities compared to ours. Costa Rica had 2 deaths per million. Australia, 4 deaths per million. South Korea, 5 deaths per million. Argentina, again, a country with large, dense cities and difficult medical infrastructure. I've been there. I've worked there medically. They really have a hard time. They have a lot of poverty. They only had 8 deaths per million. And this is coming because all of those countries I just named are all jumping on using hydroxychloroquine for prophylaxis for their first responders, their healthcare workers, and exposed family members, and they are using early treatment. And what's interesting, Sanford, is that the prophylactic course is 1 pill a week for 8 weeks in India and their protocol, and the treatment course is 2 pills a day for a week. And yet what you hear in the United States is this furor about how dangerous this drug is when it's been on the market 65 years, FDA approved in 1955, used in hundreds of millions of prescriptions around the world, was always considered up until February 2020. Hydroxychloroquine was considered one of the safest medicines and most essential medicines on the World Health Organization list of medicines. And the thing that makes me crazy as a physician is the World Health Organization director announced Monday that they were stopping their trial or pausing their trial of hydroxychloroquine in COVID, and they were talking about how dangerous it was. At the same time, he turned around and in practically the next sentence said, oh, but the lupus and rheumatoid patients don't have to worry about any safety concerns. Excuse me? How can they be so incompetent?
Well, I guess that's my big question then, Dr. Vliet. Knowing what you know, what's your diagnosis as to why these healthcare professionals are adopting such a hostile approach to hydroxychloroquine when you yourself just said there's all kinds of demonstrable results that this drug, when used properly, is very effective?
Well, let me clarify, Sanford. It is not healthcare professionals, physicians, who are so hostile to hydroxychloroquine. We have doctors. I have been on at least 5 conference calls with hundreds of doctors across the country who are frontline doctors taking care of sick patients who are desperate to try and get access to hydroxychloroquine for outpatients when it works, not in the hospital when it doesn't work very well. And they are blocked by governors, by one bureaucrat in the FDA. He's a PhD, not a frontline bedside practicing physician taking care of real patients. He's a PhD vaccine researcher. Rick Bright bragged about making the decision that he decided against the directives and of the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Rick Azar, and the physician head of the program and the admiral in charge of the Public Health Service. This one person made the decision to restrict the emergency use to hospitalized patients only.
And why? And why would such a decision be made?
Well, follow the money. The vaccine research, the vaccine patents, all of that brings in money to various companies and the NIH and CDC. The CDC and NIH hold patents on many vaccines that and processes that are involved, and that's where research money is. There are 9 NIH panelists on the expert panel recommending treatment for COVID-19 that have financial ties to Gilead, making remdesivir, and they are the same 9 that instead of recusing themselves from voting on the recommendations of what we should be using to treat COVID, they recommended not using hydroxychloroquine that's saving lives in other countries around the world, and they recommended that remdesivir should be the one. And yet they are sitting there with research support paying part of their salary. They are sitting there with consultant money coming into their pockets. And this is unconscionable when people's lives are at stake. I'm going to give you a statistic that will actually blow your mind. On April 10th, I personally sent a physician's letter to President Trump, just pleading with him to issue an emergency executive order to expand the emergency use authorization to include outpatients. They'd already authorized it for hospitalized patients. All we were asking, and I had 1,304 other doctors signing that letter April 10th. On that day, we had 24,000 deaths in the United States. On May, nothing was done. The FDA stonewalled it because Senator Johnson and I were working daily together trying to get this through. And then on May 25th, I had enough of the patients dying and doctors unable to get the medicine in the outpatient setting when it works. So I wrote another letter to President Trump with a proposal that the pharmacist and I, my colleague in Texas, and I worked on the entire Memorial Day weekend, a proposal documenting the safety of hydroxychloroquine and the studies showing effectiveness early. And we sent another letter to President Trump, this time asking him to use his emergency powers and Defense Production Act authority, which is legally, and it was supported with a letter from the attorney as well, asking him to bypass the FDA roadblocks and make it over-the-counter so that patients and their families, nursing home patient families, can decide to help their family members. Patients can decide to take it early. It is actually safer. In the research we did on the toxicities of existing over-the-counter medicines, which we referenced with medical studies, hydroxychloroquine is actually safer than many of the over-the-counter categories that we currently use in pain relievers and some of the proton pump inhibitors to reduce acid. Tylenol, for example, is the number one cause of acute liver failure in the United States, ahead of hepatitis, and the number two cause of people needing liver transplants. And most people don't realize that. Hydroxychloroquine doesn't have anything that serious associated with its 65-year history. And the FDA had 62 cases of a cardiac death out of 50 million prescriptions in their database. That's a risk of 1.2 in 1 million people. You have a higher risk, you have a tenfold higher risk of dying in a fatal car accident on a 1,000-mile road trip. The odds of that are 1 in 74,000. The odds of dying of a heart attack or fatal arrhythmia from hydroxychloroquine, according to the FDA database, was 1.2 people in 1 million. Now, that is related to the use in lupus, which is immune-suppressed patients, and rheumatoid arthritis and malaria, and it has also been used earlier in its history to lower blood sugar in diabetics before we had other drugs available. In the late-stage hospitalized patient situation, what they are not reporting, and I've been talking with critical care doctors around the country, so I know for a fact that what they are seeing is that the cardiac damage is coming from the cytokine storm at that point, not the virus itself and not the drug. They're actually, critical care docs have talked about the fact on these conference calls that they're actually using remdesivir, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, corticosteroids, high-dose vitamin C, whatever they can do to try and support the patient, because you can't, the viral load at that point is too much to try and clear with medicine, and the immune response damage to the organs with all of the cytokine chemicals that are causing their own set of damage, all of that is so severe that the main treatment options in the hospital are supportive care and hope and pray the patient can pull through. But the docs I've been talking with on these conference calls, they're seeing a mortality rate of close to 50% or more in some hospitals once people are on ventilators.
I'm sorry, we were going to take a break, but this is fascinating. We're just going to go ahead and go straight through with Dr. Elizabeth Vliet. I wanted to ask your opinion based on all the science that is available to you. People seem to be having a discussion that this COVID-19 will eventually run its course, and whether or not it restarts again, nobody really knows, I guess. But do you foresee a time in the United States or in Arizona where the cases of COVID-19 will eventually die out altogether for a period of time?
Well, actually, Sanford, that's a very good question, and we did see that with SARS in 2002 and 2003, SARS was sudden acute respiratory syndrome virus, which its official name is actually, it was a coronavirus, and the official name is SARS-CoV-1, and that was the time frame when our NIH and CDC started looking into hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine as antiviral medicines, and they showed unequivocally in studies that they did in 2002, 2003, and published in 2005, that unequivocally these were very potent antiviral medicines, but they acted at two steps, the first two steps in which the virus establishes the infection. They act to block the virus from attaching to the surfaces on the cells to enter the cell. It's like a lock on your door. So you have a lock on your door. You hope to prevent a burglar coming in. The hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine block the receptor on the surface of the cell that lets the virus into the cell. The second step, both drugs act like an alarm system on your house. If a virus breaks in to the cell, they help to block the virus from multiplying and doing its damage. Just like an alarm system, when a burglar breaks into your house, is going to alert the police and hopefully scare the burglar away before he does damage. So the two earliest steps in which the virus establishes the infection is when these two drugs worked. That was published in the United States from the CDC studies in 2005. We knew that. I'm sure Dr. Fauci knows that. I can't imagine that he could be at the NIH all these years and not know the studies they were doing then. So that's SARS-CoV-1. That did disappear. And one of the reasons that hydroxychloroquine was not taken forward for FDA approval for it at that time was the virus disappeared, and they didn't really think they needed to. Well, then we also had the swine flu virus, and it did pretty much the same thing. It was very serious. It caused a lot of damage for a fairly short period. In fact, it caused a lot of deaths because under that president, we did not ramp up an emergency response until 6 months later. And so we had several thousand deaths, and I think it was close to 60,000 deaths. I'd have to look at that again. But swine flu, they did develop a vaccine quickly, but they rushed it to market, and it ended up having a lot of safety issues, a lot of complications. A lot of people died. People developed Guillain-Barré. And then that virus suddenly just kind of disappeared. And then along comes COVID-19, which technically the scientific name is SARS-CoV-2. So it is the second coronavirus in that series, goes back to 2002. Interesting, both of them broke out in China first. Mm-hmm. The SARS virus in 2002 broke out in China and then spread around the world with people on international flights, exactly like what happened with the COVID, what we're calling COVID-19. So those viruses share about 80% of the genetic sequence. So they're very similar, even though the current one is slightly different from the 2002 one. They share a lot of the genetic sequencing. So there was evidence from 15 years ago that these drugs should work. China started using hydroxychloroquine right away as one of the antivirals they were trying and actually got very good results with it. Chinese doctors shared that information with South Korea. South Korea started using hydroxychloroquine very early. And you don't hear in the media that that was one of the big reasons that South Korea's death rate is so low, because they started using the hydroxychloroquine prophylactically for their healthcare workers, and they used it early for the patients who got symptoms. As soon as they got symptoms, they were put on the medicine. And yet the media only talks about, oh, South Korea did it because they did all this testing. No, that's only part of the story. Same was true with Turkey. Do you know, we don't know this in the United States, but it's published overseas. China supplied Turkey with hydroxychloroquine in the late fall of 2019, and Turkey started using hydroxychloroquine right off the bat.
Wow.
And that's the reason their death rate is so low. That's the reason Iran's death rate is so low, because China supplied hydroxychloroquine to Iran and Turkey in November, December 2019.
Dr. Vliet, we only got about a minute left. I did want to get a quick overview from you on the performance of Dr. Fauci, because it did appear on the one hand that a lot of what he was saying publicly was contradictory. It appeared as though the president was putting a lot, maybe too much faith in his advice. And I'd be really interested in a quick critique on whether or not you think that his leadership has been effective or not in managing the pandemic.
I think Dr. Fauci has other agendas focused on the vaccine and remdesivir, and I think it has been tragic for this country that as more data has come in from other countries, I mean, granted, at the beginning, no one knew a lot about it, but as time has gone on and we've got data from other countries showing their success with hydroxychloroquine, and it's a cheap, available, safe medicine already FDA approved, that the leadership, medical leadership like Dr. Fauci, is actually actively discrediting. I think that's unprofessional and irresponsible, because doctors on the front line are the ones who need to make this decision, not a bench researcher. We need bedside doctors making this decision, and we need to get the FDA. I need people, listen, your listening audience, lighten up the switchboard at the White House to get this FDA restriction lifted, make hydroxychloroquine widely available, not just for the privileged. Everyone needs to have the choice to work with their doctor to get hydroxychloroquine available. It costs less than $10 for the treatment for COVID-19 if you start early and you do the one-week course. This is absolutely unconscionable that people around this country are prevented from working with their primary care physicians to start the medicine early. I've got patients that were able to do that, and they didn't go into the hospital. But we've got a situation where there are a lot of doctors that cannot get it until their patients end up in the hospital.
Dr. Vliet, I've got to stop you there. We really do appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to join us. You can get more information from Dr. Vliet's website. That's herplace.com. And fascinating, and I wish we had more time, and we will definitely love to have you back at a later date to give us an update on what's going on. We just want to say thank you for your advocacy and keep fighting the good fight. I think you've got the right strategy, and hopefully your point of view will prevail here.
Thank you, Sanford. Appreciate your having me on. Happy to help.
Thanks. Dr. Vliet joining us live here on Talk of the Town KQ&A. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to check in with Cottonwood to see how the reopening is going. It's all happening here on Talk of the Town KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Hello, Prescott. This is John Nielsen, wanting to welcome everyone back to Prescott Brewing Company.
This is Roxanne. We just received our 2020 Ranking Arizona's Best of Arizona Businesses publication. This annual publication rates all kinds of Arizona's own businesses. Well, little old PBC and little old Prescott rated in the top 10 breweries in the state again and again. We continue to be relevant in the big world of craft beers with more than 100 in our state of Arizona now. A big thank you.
We hope to see you soon. Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Gettles High Desert Mechanical, the premier heating, cooling, and plumbing contractor in Yavapai County, is now hiring. If college is not for you, if you've been thinking about a job or career change, or just interested in beginning to earn now, buy that car or begin saving for whatever you have your sights set on. Come into a trade with high-paying prospects. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, your trusted heating, cooling, and plumbing partner, can be trusted for exceptional on-the-job training, resulting in a rewarding, well-paid career. Call 928-567-2200 today for more information.
During tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Think back to a simpler time, when things like home delivery of milk and bread came to your door. Now even getting the mail delivered is being questioned. It's good to know that since 1960, folks here in Yavapai County have relied on the Barrett family. From staying warm to cooking, drying clothes, and other needs, you can count on Barrett Propane, just as families have for three generations. You have my name on it. Call us today at 636-1600. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Reaper Graphics, we deliver great printing now, with same day and next day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
Yavapai Regional Medical Center's Wellness Center in Prescott has relocated to a new location to serve you better. This means that our preventive medicine and outpatient physical rehabilitation teams will now serve you at 1112 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. We've moved to a new location to make way for an amazing new health center and a covered parking facility that are under construction at YRMC West in Prescott. We look forward to serving you from our new location at 1112 Iron Springs Road. We're also excited about the amazing new health center and multi-level parking facility that's underway at YRMC West in Prescott. Follow YRMC on Facebook for the latest construction news and more.
Load up the RV and hit the open road to the repair shop. Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, we are gradually reopening Arizona, and so we thought we'd check in with Christian Oliva Del Rio, the director of the Cottonwood Verde Valley Chamber of Commerce, to see how things are going in Old Town and elsewhere. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, we're doing quite well, and glad to be back out and about. I would imagine most of the businesses in Cottonwood have found, the small businesses have found a way to reopen. What's the overall view going on right now?
So it's been very interesting, you know, the struggle we're all facing. I've been quite impressed with our entrepreneurs out there and our small businesses and their innovation and thinking outside of the box. We had multiple restaurants, especially in the Old Town area, that instantly were able to adapt to the curbside and online delivery or online ordering and some delivery. You know, some of the biggest challenges were then for our tasting rooms, wine tasting rooms, bars, and those kind of things. Although some of the tasting rooms are, again, also able to adapt and either offer some sort of food service and able to tap into that. Everybody is adjusting. I can say that this last weekend, Memorial Day with the holiday, we saw a lot of traffic here. And some of the conversations I've had with some of the merchants downtown was it was actually the best revenue-generating Memorial Day that they've had in years. So that's good and bad. I kind of have mixed feelings about that. You know, definitely means there was a lot of people in town, but they've been putting a lot of the guidelines into play. They've been practicing social distancing or physical distancing as much as possible. You know, implementing masks and hand sanitizing and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing large crowds.
Personally, I would, if it was up to me, I would have said that anyone that sells wine makes them an essential business. That's just my personal opinion.
I would have to agree with you.
That's just my personal opinion. But
right.
I as a chamber director, a lot of what you try to do is getting business people to network with each other. And I just wonder what the challenge has been for you over this last couple of months, and what do you see going forward in terms of how we've typically done business at the Cottonwood Chamber, where we get together for, you know, annual dinners and
right.
mixers and big expos and stuff like that. And that's not to say that that can't happen again sometime down the road, but what's the contingency plan for the time being?
Well, for the time being, and I don't want to advertise Zoom any more than they're already getting the exposure they've been getting, but, you know, it's been quite interesting to me how we've all adapted to that. And we've been exploring the possibility of doing hosting a mixer via Zoom. Some of the tasting rooms I know have already been exploring and playing with that, and doing a virtual tasting, if you will.
Wait a minute. A virtual tasting?
That means everybody gets together with their glass of wine we all log in.
Okay.
And we share our, you know, our thoughts and our camaraderie, and a little sip here and there is always a good thing.
Wow. I was just on a webinar with the Arizona Commerce Authority on Thursday morning. Wednesday morning, and that was my first experience with Zoom, it was pretty effective. I just don't know how you would manage it if you had like 40 people on screen, all with the capability of talking at the same time. it just wouldn't seem like you'd be able to get a word in edgewise.
I absolutely agree with you, and it has been one of my biggest concerns, but I also discovered that if I'm hosting the meeting, I can mute everybody.
Whoa.
So that might help.
You know, I can definitely see, because, you know, when when you guys get in front of the annual dinner or something like that, sometimes you got to clink the glasses a few times to get people to simmer down, because, you know, everybody likes to network at these things.
Yeah.
So to be able to hit a mute button and just mute everybody so you can be heard, that's pretty
it
could be awesome.
Helpful. It could definitely be helpful. I wish I had a mute button more often in other aspects of my life. But yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be challenging, and especially since we haven't really received total clearance here from the governor as far as groups meeting, you know, of 10 or more. That's even more challenging. I mean, you know, we've wanted to try to be able to attend council meetings and everything too, and with those restrictions in place, it's quite difficult. But you know, the upside and the good side about that is I think that our community respects the guidelines that are in place, and so far I can honestly say I've not experienced any negativity with any of these people, you know, not wanting to respect our spaces or even wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. That's a whole other controversy, right?
Sure, sure.
So I can tell you from our perspective, we actually have officially opened our visitor center. We are a tourism visitor information center. And we've put lines all over the floor, 6 feet apart. We've got plexiglass at the counter for, you know, our front desk people. And we have hand sanitizer at the door. So, you know, we put and implemented everything. I'm, again, very pleased with the results and the people that have been visiting us. You know, prior to COVID-19, we were seeing roughly 30 to 50 people, depending on what day of the week it was, and now we're only averaging about 10 to 15, but that's even more than I was expecting.
The good news is, and we had Dr. Elizabeth Vliet on here just before you, and she's you know, very involved in the whole coronavirus situation, and she said that to the best of her knowledge that this will eventually die out, just like the SARS virus and the others. So I think, you know, like you said, as long as people can cope with the modifications they have to make for the time being, I think a return to something much more similar to the old normal is in the cards.
Yes, and I think that's the bottom line too, is that we really do have to encourage or get the word out to our consumers. And this is a program that Sedona has actually implemented here in the Verde Valley, and each one of the communities have adopted it, is the Safe, Clean, Ready program. And what we're doing is all of the businesses, all of our businesses in each of our communities have read through the guidelines and implemented these things, and then they are self-certifying that they meet these guidelines. And then we're providing them with information for them to put in their, you know, their, either their door or their front window or whatever, that shows that, you know, the consumer has to bear some responsibility in coming into this. But as a business, we want you to feel safe and that we are clean and we are ready to serve you. So that, I think, will go a long way in building consumer confidence. And again, not putting the total burden on the business themselves. I think we do need to ask the community to take a certain amount of responsibility and realize the situation we're in and then take those precautions for themselves. If they don't feel comfortable being out in public or they don't feel like they should wear a mask or they should wear a mask, they should respect those things and again, bear a certain amount of responsibility as the consumer. I'm seeing that from people. It's been a good thing.
As a business advocate, as the director of the Cottonwood Verde Valley Chamber, what's your opinion or what's your take on the thought that allowing people to gather in the hundreds in grocery stores and Walmarts and things like that was deemed okay, but not allowing them to go into a small business where the small business owner has much more control over right. the ability of the customer to access and can be treated one at a time, can stay socially distant and the whole bit. Do you think in retrospect that there was kind of a mixed message there in the way we went about looking at this?
On a personal level and my personal opinion, I would absolutely say yes, that we did approach that wrong. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the virus didn't exist in a Walmart or a Home Depot or right?
Right.
And it only existed in our small businesses, and that's just not the case. And it's very unfortunate that it went that route. We could also talk about the stimulus and the recovery funds that have been coming out and helping people. A lot of that went to a lot of the larger corporations rather than our small businesses who really needed it. They are a bread and butter. And there's definitely been a struggle there. I can give you an example. Blazin' M here is our chuck wagon and dinner show. And you know, they function in groups, right? And it's put a huge amount of stress on them. They've had to shut down. They've had to let all their employees go because of these restrictions. They cannot function with the social distancing, physical distancing that we've implemented. So here's a business that's been in business for quite some time and really serving our community and always stepping up to provide back to the community. And unfortunately, it's had a pretty dire effect on them. And that story kind of, it goes out through each of our communities, unfortunately. Really our mom and pop shops are the backbone of this country. And it's really unfortunate that they're being the hardest hit.
Well, and the Mabry family have just been so good to the Verde Valley over the years that to see this happen is just, it's really heartbreaking. You would hope that, since they do have a rather sizable outdoor abilities, that maybe there would have been some way to make that happen. But, once you limit groups to 10 or less, that basically shuts the door on just about anything.
Right. Right.
So now looking ahead to the rest of the summer, I think we all heard already that there will be no Thunder Valley Rally this year.
That's correct.
Right? But I think as your Memorial Day eyewitness account demonstrated, there's a lot of pent-up demand for people that want to get out and enjoy themselves, and there's not too many of them jumping on airplanes to go flying off to distant places. So does this represent an opportunity for Cottonwood to be able to capitalize on the increased desirability for staycations within the state of Arizona?
Yes, and in fact, fact, that was a large part of our marketing plan over the last year, and will be an even larger part, I believe, moving forward. You know, part of our challenge, obviously, is that now the entire state is vying for the same visitor, you know, and we've got to convince them that our area is the best to come to. But yes, that drive market, you know, there we do see a lot of travel, Phoenix, Tucson area, and recently Prescott and Prescott Valley area, we're getting a lot of people coming over the mountain and visiting us. So, you know, we truly appreciate that. And that is going to be, I think, most of the focus is going to be on that drive market, the in-state and the staycations.
Wow. And just, you know, and what good timing, I guess we want to call it that, with gasoline prices at an all-time low.
Right. Yeah, I was just having that conversation with somebody else that, you know, boy, where do we want to go now? Because now I can afford to take my RV with me. And, you know, and again, you know, I mean, on our own personal level, you know, we are planning on staying someplace cooler, maybe in the higher elevations, the Flagstaff, Williams area, and you know, Grand Canyon. We're going to see a lot more of that, obviously. And the challenge is, like I said, now every other community in the state is also going to be vying for that. So we're a little bit fortunate in that we have this booming wine industry over here and a thing called the Verde Valley Wine Trail. And, you know, it's a pretty big draw.
You bet it is.
So we're happy about that. And God willing, you know, this virus will go away. And we can really show people a good time when they come to our area.
Well, I think it's as good a time as any if you're planning on starting a small business, or if you're looking to recover and restart affiliating with your local chambers of commerce to help get you jump started is a great way to do that. And Christian Oliva Del Rio, the director of the Cottonwood Verde Valley Chamber of Commerce, we wish you guys continued success, and we'll see you around Old Town, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We're around. Our visitor center is open, so come visit us. We'll tell you where to go.
All right, man. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Christian Oliva Del Rio from the Cottonwood Verde Valley Chamber of Commerce. Quick break, back with some final thoughts when we return here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
During tough times, Cottonwood Area Transit and Verde Links are here for you, offering a free ride for those necessary trips to the grocery, pharmacy, work, or doctor, Monday through Friday on CAT, 7 days a week on Links. Rest assured, we're taking extra measures to disinfect our buses to keep you safe. To check on routes and schedules, please go to www.ride-cat.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Hello, Prescott. This is John Nielsen, wanting to welcome everyone back to Prescott Brewing Company. We have always practiced and trained our staff for the safest in food handling and sanitation, and we will continue to do so. We've printed our new menu, and of course, you can always get our award-winning beers on tap. We took out some tables and spread the others out to increase distance, and placed a hand sanitizer station next to our staircase that leads upstairs to our upstairs dining room. We hope to see you soon. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Hi, I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers.
You gotta admit, Ted, we get pretty popular in the summer.
I know, Adam. We get service calls from all over the Prescott area.
And we also get quite a few from Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and Sedona.
How do you know that?
A little Verdi told me.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Keep your cool with a quick call to Gettles High Desert Mechanical, serving all of Yavapai County. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettles High Desert Mechanical heating, cooling, and plumbing.
Waters Garden companion plants in May are vining Akebia, purple robe locust, Prescott sunshine geraniums, and Indian hawthorn.
Wind is no problem for this Indian hawthorn.
Rose-colored flowers cover this spring bloomer that often repeat blooms in fall.
Dark blue berries adorn this compact bush that takes the wind and soaks up the sun like a native.
Perfect for low-maintenance gardens with virtually no pruning, ever.
Every backyard should have at least one, and only found here at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to Christian Olivo Del Rio from the Cottonwood Chamber. You can go to cottonwoodchamberaz.org to get all the information on what's going on in Old Town and the Verde Valley Wine Trail. And then a big thank you to Dr. Elizabeth Vliet for joining us to talk about the hydrochloroquine situation. And Dr. Vliet has a wonderful website with lots of great health information for men and women. You can go to herplace.com and check out Dr. Elizabeth Vliet. Thank you both very much for joining us here on Talk of the Town. We'll be back with sports tomorrow, and Mark Levin will continue the Talk of the Quad Cities right here on KQ&A. I'm Sanford Cohen. Have a safe Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Genesis Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino,